Now, some people try and explain away the star by saying it was an astrological conjunction. Apparently you can work out that there were at least three planets together in the sky. I think in about the year 5 BC, which is probably about the time when Jesus was born. But as you read this passage, you realise that this star is not something that's a normal, everyday occurrence in the heavens. This is something special because it goes ahead of them. Somehow it's not right up there, it's somehow a bit lower down, this star. And of course, when they actually get to Bethlehem, I love this bit where it says, when they heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. And that translation, overwhelmed with joy, it isn't quite strong enough for the way it's actually expressed in the original Greek. It uses the word mega, you know the word mega that we use to mean a million nowadays. It comes from this Greek word which means just something enormous. So they were not just pleased, they really were overwhelmed when they saw that the star had stopped, that it was actually pinpointing the place where the child was. And of course in Luke's Gospel, when we read about the shepherds, they obviously had the sign of the angels appearing to them. But the angels actually said to the shepherds, when you get to Bethlehem, you're going to find a baby wrapped up in swaddling bands, I think as the Authorized Version puts it, and lying in a manger. That will be the sign for you that this is the one that the nation has been looking for, the Messiah. Because that is a strong message that comes out of the Old Testament, that God was going to send someone, that somehow the fulfillment of all that he was doing through the Jewish people was going to come and be fulfilled in this single person. We looked, I think, is it 2 weeks ago or a week ago, looked at Abraham, and Abraham sacrificed or didn't sacrifice Isaac. You remember it says there that God was going to bless everyone on earth through Abraham's offspring. And as Paul points out in the book of Galatians, it's a singular there. It's one offspring. But the whole, if you like, of what we read in the Old Testament, of the Jewish people, is kind of funneled down to this one person, this Messiah. And you can see actually here in this account, because when it says the wise men came into Jerusalem and said that they'd been following this star, Herod, and it says all Jerusalem realized that something special was happening. It says, for we observed his star and its rising and have come to pay him homage. When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and we can understand that. He was the king of the Jews, or he was a usurping king of the Jews, because he wasn't even Jewish, let alone being a descendant of David. He was frightened, but it says all Jerusalem was frightened with him, because I think they realized that this was a real sign. This was something that God was doing. He was breaking into his universe and revealing to people that something special was happening. And of course they then go to the scriptures and find that there is a prophecy there that Bethlehem will be the birthplace, the city of David, the city that David came from, would actually be the birthplace of the Messiah as well. And that's why Herod sends the wise men off there. So God does actually give us signs. He intervenes into the world to guide us, to show us the way he wants us to go. And I really believe that we should, in 2018, this year, should be a year that when we do look out for God's signs. Because when we get those signs, we can be like those wise men, overwhelmed with joy. I went to a conference yesterday up in Leicester. And I very much apologise, Sue, for making... I was originally going to go on Friday. It was a two-day conference. It just happens once a year. But unfortunately, we had to look after our grandson on Friday. And therefore, I went yesterday. And it's a conference organised by a church in California. Now, you think this is a bit odd, isn't it? For a church in the other side of the world, almost, to organise a conference here in a place like Leicester. but they've been doing it for quite a number of years now. We originally got connected with this church after, I believe that in Shrewsbury, we actually received a sign from God one Friday evening when suddenly everything changed in our church and we started to go off in a new direction. And the confirmation for this was, I believe, just a few months later, when myself and Bozzy and some other people from the church, we went to a conference up in Harrogate, and they had an American speaker there who we'd never heard of, a man called Bill Johnson. And Bill Johnson was the leader of this church in California. And he started talking about what had been happening to them a few years earlier. And it was the most extraordinary event because he started describing what was happening to us. And we realized that what we were experiencing wasn't unique, but that God was actually doing something across the world. And ever since then, we've had a connection, Bozzy and I have had a connection with this church in California. We've been out there, and all sorts of other things have happened through that connection. But God has really led us step by step along the way that kind of parallels what happened there. When we were at the conference, actually, in Harrogate, someone actually asked Bill Johnson what he felt was the key to the what had been happening there. And he said something which I don't think anyone else expected, but we understood it because of what was happening to us. Someone asked him what was the key to what they were experiencing and healings and all sorts of other things going on there. And he said three words. He said, abandonment in worship. Abandonment in worship. And we realized that's exactly what was happening to us. Now, when I came here, and the temptation would be to try and repeat what you've experienced in other places. I'm sure all leaders do this. We tend to look back to our previous experience. And it's important to do that, to be inspired and to realize God really is at work in our lives. But I believe it's very wrong to try and transplant something, just to say something happened there, and therefore we hope to see the same thing happen here. I realized that God had actually given us, he led us by signs, like the way he had led the wise men through the stars, with the star. And I believe he continues to do that. So to actually just copy what's happened somewhere else is not a matter, it's not doing what the wise men did and following the star. It's doing, if you like, what Herod and the other people in Jerusalem were doing, just copying what they'd always done, what just following the traditions and the paths that they'd always been following. So I hope and I believe that 2018 can be a year when we do look out for the signs that God gives us, that he leads us step by step in the way that he wants us to go. Because then he comes in and does stuff to endorse it. When the wise men got and met with the child, when they saw Jesus with his mother, they bowed down and they paid him homage. They actually worshipped this baby, which is an extraordinary thing to do. And then they gave them these gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh, these really costly gifts, which we know was going to be important for Mary and Joseph and the baby as they went off into Egypt, as they escaped from Herod's determination that the Messiah was not going to survive, that the Messiah was not going to come and take away his kingdom. That God brought these things together in a way that enabled Joseph and Mary to really take care of the child and to eventually to bring him back to Nazareth so he could grow up in and start his ministry. That's been my experience, that if we're willing to follow the signs that God gives us, he puts things into place to make things happen. When we try and do things according to our own plans, according to the way we think things should happen, that's when we get stuck. Now, of course, lots of people, the vast majority of people in our society live their lives that way. We work out what we ought to do and then we do it. And And that can, that obviously is in a sense successful, but if we really want to actually go the way that God is calling us, then we do need to look out for these signs, these things that he does in our lives. We see from the examples of Jesus' birth that the variety of signs that were given to people, that the Messiah really had come. The signs given to the wise men are totally different to those given to the shepherds, and were totally different to those given to Anna and Simeon, you can read about when they took the baby to the temple. God never repeats himself. God is infinitely creative. There's no way you can say up front how God is going to speak to us, how he's going to lead us. We all need to have those kind of spiritual antenna up, looking out for the things that God does in our lives. And I honestly believe that, and it's honestly been my experience, if we're open to God speaking to us in different ways, then he will do that. And he will actually lead us step by step. Now, Sue's going back to Australia. We pray the same for you in your life there, that you will, again, as well, know God's leading hand by the way he works in your life. And I pray this too for all of us and for all our families, that each of us will know that leading that the wise men experienced. And then we can be with them, as it says, overwhelmed with joy.